The scripture reading this morning will be coming from 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is His Son. He who has not the Son has the Son has life. Who does not have the Son does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God.
Be sure to thank Keith before you leave today. He came all the way from Indiana to lead our singing today, and we appreciate that. I've been missing him. I hope you have too. If Keith Peavyhouse is not around, we know it. And I'm proud he's back home, and he's staying all the way till in the morning, I think. And then he's going to go back. One of these days, he won't come back. He'll find him a place, and he'll come visit with us every so often then. But I'm proud he's back home. You ever let emotions get the best of you? Oh, Daniel and the kids, they went to Tennessee football game or the orange and white game this weekend, and Wendy and I, we've been so quiet around the house, and last night, about 7 o'clock, I laid back and finally fell asleep in my chair, and the dog heard something, went to barking. Can't stand that dog when it goes to barking and waking me up. Finally, about 8:45, I said, Wendy, I'm going to bed. So I went in there, I got in the bed, and I went to sleep pretty much as soon as my head hit that pillow. At 10:45, I had a rude awakening. Sound asleep. Wendy screaming at me. She was hollering, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" And when I heard her and she touched me, I jumped straight out of that bed. I said, "What's wrong?" She said, "What's wrong?" I said, "You've lost your mind." She says that I was screaming, help me, in my sleep. So we scared each other last night. And then she wanted to talk about it. And I said, roll over and go back to sleep before we get wide awake. Maybe I can find out what I needed help about. You never know. Sometimes things get the best of you. But you know, this morning I want us to talk about something. It's a problem. I think if we all will admit it, we'll say that it's a problem. It's a problem for us. It's a problem for a lot of people. And that is overcoming anger. Overcoming anger. I read a story this last week. It happened up in Philadelphia. It said last year a driver in Philadelphia shot another driver on the highway. Now this is what led to what happened. There was a blockage on the road, a construction blockage on the road, and we've all been in those before, that you know you got to go down Dale to one lane, and there's signs miles back, right lane closed, and they were going down through there, and how most people do, or how we should do, is every other car, you just start merging in. Everybody's being polite. Everybody won't do that. What happened? This guy waited his turn, and he was getting frustrated. But yet he waited his turn. He let the one in front of him go. Then it was his turn. And here comes this person. Y'all ever seen this person? This person that stays in the emergency lane as far over, seeing if he could get just as far as he could. And he just sped all the way down to where everybody was merging, and he jumps in front of this guy that had waited his turn. The story says he turned with a smirk on his face and made a gesture to him. He fueled the fire. Anger got the best of this man, and they went down the road until they got to the next construction site. He gets out of his car with a gun. He walks up to the car and shoots the man. Shot him for pulling in front of him. Now, not a one of us, Not a one of us would ever do that. But the question is, have you ever lost your temper? Have you ever done things you wished you hadn't have done? Have you ever said things you wished you had never said? Well, the Bible has something to say about overcoming our anger. And this is something I need help with from time to time. Proverbs 19 and verse 11. We're going to look at several verses this morning in Proverbs. The Bible has something to say about overcoming anger. And in Proverbs 19 and verse 11, it says, "A man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense." Now, there's a secret in that passage, isn't it? If you think about that passage, and I don't know what your version read, but the secret there, if someone offends you, and if you're a person of wisdom, that is godly wisdom, that is trying to live that Christian life and studying and praying and walking as Christ walked, then we can overlook it. That's really what he's saying there in Proverbs 19 and verse 11. If we have God's wisdom in us, we can overlook it and not allow that situation to become a major event in our life. In other words, we don't let it control us. Now, there's two different kinds of wisdoms that we're talking about here. We're talking about people, and Norris and I talked about a little bit out front this morning. There are people that's trying to live godly. And we may struggle. I'm not saying the people that's trying to live godly and use God's wisdom in our life that we don't struggle because we're not God. But we're working to overcome that anger that we all face, and it becomes even more today, I think, than it's ever been. Just this last week, I told Keith this morning, I said, I find myself in the middle of a lot of things I don't want to be in. But I got it in the middle of a pretty good discussion. I'll call it discussion. Pretty good discussion this week that two other people were having. And it was over Little League baseball. And it was between Trevant and Atwood. And it went from a discussion to a very, very heated discussion. And you know me, those of you that know me, I can't keep my mouth shut. So I found my way in the middle of this discussion. And hopefully this is probably not the word I should use, but hopefully I belittled the two enough that they backed off and backed away from the very argument that they were having. And I know there is a problem, and I don't want this necessarily to become an issue this morning. It's just a point I want to make. I thought of it when I was reading that last verse. I don't want it to become between baseball this morning, but I know the friction that's in our communities. We're getting further away from it, I think, but the friction's still there. I was a third graduating class from West Carroll. I don't have a problem with Atwood having baseball or softball in Atwood, not any at all. I don't care. I don't see that as an issue. It's 3 miles down the road. I can drive down and watch Ella play. Or I can watch her play right here, and I know some of y'all disagree with me, and I don't get angry at me. I'm just giving you my opinion. It don't need to get to a point in our community or in our families or in our lives that we go at each other over things like that. I really believe it was going to escalate to something bad over baseball. So when we're trying to live a godly life and we're trying to focus on God's wisdom, and we find that so much in the book of Proverbs, if we want to read that, we find there exactly what we need in our life. Matter of fact, this morning we're going to look at anger, and I hope as we look at it, we're going to see the secret that's found in scriptures of how we deal with problems that come our way, because we're all going to face them. And we all are emotionally attached to something. And there is a trigger in most people. I might have done hit some this morning. There's a trigger in some people that you say, there's the line. And we're not going to cross that line. But if we'll search the scriptures, I think we can find that we don't need to allow situations to control us. Number one this morning, sudden anger is to be controlled. God demands it. We do not need to be a people that fly off the handle at 10:45 when your wife goes to screaming at you and says, what's wrong? We have to control that sudden anger. Proverbs 14 and verse 17, if you'll turn over to there, Proverbs 14, and I hope you mark these verses in your Bible. My Bible is all marked up, and I have key words, and sometimes I'll put a star up at the top of the page, and I'll put a word up there that when I'm flipping through my Bible, that one word jumps out at me like anger. And I'll put, like, verse 17, I know to refer down to it. Look at verse 17. A quick-tempered man does foolish things. Now, we already knew that, didn't we? We already knew that a quick-tempered man does foolish things because we've experienced it. Tim's experienced it several times. Being quick-tempered, it's going to lead you to do things that's very, very foolish. You go back to the story I talked about in the man from Philadelphia. Do you think it's really worth what he did? Being quick-tempered, he walked up to a man's car, had a gun, and pulled the trigger. Now, I don't know what kind of man he was. I don't know if he had a wife and children, or I don't know the situation. I don't even know what happened to him after he went to court. I don't know. But let's just go down a road for just a minute together. Let's say he was just a quick-tempered person that had a life and had a family. He changed the direction of his life and his family's life and someone else's family's life because he was quick-tempered. The Bible says, control that anger. If we're quick-tempered, we're going to do foolish things. Go back or go forward one more chapter in Proverbs 15 and verse 18. It says, a hot-tempered man stirs up dissension. That simply means if you have a short fuse, if you're always looking, I know that we don't, but if you're always looking to lose your temper, if you're walking around with a chip on your shoulder, if you're just looking for someone to say something that will irritate you, if you're that person, you're going to leave a trail of hurt feelings. And you're going to leave unhappiness behind you everywhere you go. Will Rogers said this, whenever you fly into rage, you seldom make a safe landing. When you fly into rage, you seldom make a safe landing. Chuck Swindoll said, I got so angry that I gave him a piece of my mind, and it was a piece that I could not afford to lose. I got so mad, I give you a piece of my mind, and it was the piece I didn't need to lose. Controlling your temper. Proverbs 18 and verse 13 says, he who answers before listening, this is his folly and his shame. He is talking about jumping to conclusions. He's talking about here that we must hear a little bit of what is said. We just get just a little bit. And I know we never do this. Ha ha. I know we never do this. We never hear just a little bit, then we go on with the story. We do that. Look at the wisdom that we find in the book of Proverbs. That's what he's talking about. You hear a little bit and you instantly jump to conclusions, and oftentimes what? It's the wrong conclusion. It's not a one of us in here that can read each other's mind. I guarantee you, you can't read each other's mind. So if someone says something, understand what they said and don't finish the story. I get on to Wendy all the time about that. I'll be talking. I know sometimes I stutter. Sometimes I get thinking about what I want to say and where I'm going with the conversation. I'll go, and I'm working. My brain's working. It's slow. It's slow. I know it's in there, and I'm trying to pull it out so I can get it where it needs to be. And Wendy will finish my sentence. I said, quit finishing my sentences. I know what I want to say. She said, well, just say it then. But we do that. We do that when we're talking to people. And we'll finish the whole story. Found an article said, have you heard about the dog named August? August was always trying to chase a mule named Conclusion. One day he jumped at Conclusion and bit him. And Conclusion kicked back at August. And that was the last day of August. I thought that was pretty good. When he kicked back, it was the last day. Second point I want to make if we think about anger, and the Bible is just full of anger and verses that we can take and apply to our lives. Number two, sinful anger is to be condemned. Not all anger is sinful. I'll go ahead and clarify that before we get into this point here. But sinful anger is to be condemned. Matthew 5 and verse 21 says, ye have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Now that was Jesus talking. Now that passage tells us there's some things about anger that should help us realize when our anger gets to be sinful. For an example, notice this key says, if anyone, this verse says, anyone who is angry with his brother. Now, if you're a brother or a sister to someone, whether it's talking about our family or whether it's talking about God's family, it's giving us a warning here. It's giving us a warning about being angry with each other. If we're brothers and sisters, we should be lifting each other up and encouraging each other, supporting and helping each other. We should not spend our time being angry with one another. Turn with me to Romans. Romans chapter 12. Look at verse 19. Romans 12, I think it's verse 19. It says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Let's go ahead and read verses 20 and 21. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Is it anger that we have that seeks revenge? If someone wrongs us, are we always trying to get even? Listen, if our anger is geared towards seeking revenge, then it's definitely sinful anger. The third thing, stubborn anger is to be conquered. I know none of us is probably stubborn, but it's an anger that stays there day after day after day. I've heard people called stubborn. I've been told I could argue with a fence post. I've been told a lot of things. But when we get to a point that we're so stubborn when it comes to our anger, it becomes sinful as well. We hold on to it. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4 with me. One of the classic passages that deals with anger. It begins in verse 26. It says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. The next verse says, neither give place to the devil. One translation says, and do not give the devil a foothold. Let me read something to you. It's a little illustration I found. It says, one day you go home and you're angry. You carry a chip on your shoulder just waiting for someone to knock it off. I know we never do that with our husbands and wife. Then your wife says something you don't particularly appreciate, and soon a heated words are being exchanged from each of you. It really doesn't amount to much, but you're determined to get your way, and she's determined to get her way, so the argument continues. It says the sun goes down and nighttime comes. Then in bed she faces that way and you face this way, and you both make very sure you don't touch each other. Do you realize what's happened? It goes on to say, the Bible says you've opened the door and you said this, Mr. Devil, come right on in. We'll make you feel welcome here. But then look down at verse 31. Paul mentions what happened when Satan begins this dirty work. When you let him in verse 27, you give him a foothold. You let him in the door. Look at verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. All of this passage, starting with verse 26, working your way down toward the end of the chapter, talks about this. What is malice? Malice is anger. Malice is revenge. The first result, however, when we think about this, is bitterness. You begin to think all the bad things about one another, about people and what they do to you and what they say to you when we hold on to anger. And that's one word Paul mentions. That is bitterness. Then he says, after bitterness becomes rage and anger. Rage is bitterness boiling and bubbling inside you, and anger is rage being expressed. Then malice means your really desire to harm someone. You say, I'd never do that. I'd never let it get that far. If we don't overcome anger, the Bible tells us it works its way to malice. That we want to harm someone. And then finally, the fourth and final point I want to make about anger this morning is sanctified anger must be channeled in the right direction for God. The Bible tells us, be ye angry, in verse 26 of Ephesians chapter 4, be ye angry. It's okay to be angry, but do not sin in that anger. So where do we focus our attention? Where do we focus our emotions on? Maybe our anger is really what the church needs today. Maybe we need a little anger here at Trevant. But we allow that anger toward the corruption of the world that we live in. We look around about us, we see the sin. All the forces of evil, maybe we need to be angry at that, to become angry at the millions and millions of abortions that's given every year. Angry at the increase of crime and murders. All the killings, all the drugs, all the alcohol. Maybe we need to be angry at the millions of people that's dying and going to the graves without Christ. Maybe we channel our anger there. But not to sin. We're not angry to the point that we sin. We're angry to the point that it moves us, as it did Jesus, to reaching out and making a difference in the bad things going on around us. Retaliation is sinful. Bitterness, malice, The list goes on and on. When we allow our anger to get to that point, it becomes sin. But Paul said it, be ye angry, but do not sin. We may not like some things that we see in our world. We may not like some of the things that happen in our life. But how we control our actions, our emotions, and what we do makes a world of difference to a lot of people. We light a fire we can't get put out, we can destroy people's lives. And it can happen just like that. I bet the guy in Philadelphia had a smirk on his face and give a gesture. Never had in his mind what was about to happen. A chain of events changed people's lives that day. And it can happen in your life as well. The Bible tells us to control your anger. This morning, are you a Christian? If not, we're going to encourage you with a song we're about to sing. If you have faith and a belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you can turn away from your sin. We can repent of our sins, ask God to forgive us, change our direction, decide that we're going to live with God's wisdom in our life, trying to make the right decisions, putting sin away, putting the devil aside, not giving him a foothold in our life or in our homes or anywhere in our community, and say, Satan is not welcome. This morning, are you willing to confess that Jesus is the Lord? He is Lord and He is the Son of the living God. If you're willing to do that today, then you can be baptized for the remission of your sins. But if you're here this morning, you've been unfaithful to God and you need to rededicate your life to the Lord. It don't have to be that it's anger that's controlling you. It can be sin in your life. It can be that you know that you're not in the right relationship with God, that you have fear in your life that if something were to happen to you or if the Lord were to come back this day, you're sitting here this morning wondering, will I have a home in heaven? Then maybe you need to respond. Because of things in your life that you need to repent of. And allow this congregation to pray with you and for you. That God will forgive you. But not just forgive you, but help you to overcome the sin that's in your life. If you're struggling with anything this morning, you know it's amazing. I'll be 48 this year. It's amazing the more time that I devote to studying the Bible, the more that I learn. And that the Bible has everything that we need. I don't care what your problem is, and I hope you don't have any. But I don't care what your problem is, here's the answer. If you're mad, here's the answer. If you're struggling with whatever you're struggling with, I guarantee you, if you'll spend some time in this, you'll find that God already knew that you was going to have that problem. And He gave you the answer. Right here in this book. Won't you come while we stand and sing?